A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniels dug up an old question this week, one the show apparently asked way back when and then lost to the archives. We've all had the experience. You get into a taxi, the driver's mid-sentence, and for the entire ride, he's holding what sounds like back-to-back conversations with an unending cast of people. And you sit there wondering, who on earth is he talking to? Daniel says we could ask the same thing about hair salons and a few other jobs, where the work uniform includes a Bluetooth earpiece and a never-ending stream of chatter. Are taxi drivers calling one another constantly? The internet has theories. Today we're going to find out, and the answer is stranger and more human than the memes suggest.
The memes are good, though. There's one that's just a taxi driver with the earpiece captioned, "My wife's cousin's landlord's brother called, and he had a lot to say about the airport queue."
That's the surface red. The deeper one is that we're seeing a distributed social network operating in plain sight, and most passengers have no idea they're sitting inside it.
Right, and the first thing to understand is that the phenomenon is real and widespread. It's not just taxis, hairdressers, delivery drivers, security guards, nail salon workers. Any job where you spend long stretches in a small space with a rotating cast of strangers, and the earpiece becomes this constant companion. The internet's popular theories are roughly three. One, they're talking to other drivers, coordinating fares. Two, they're faking it to avoid passenger conversation. Three, it's a cultural thing, certain immigrant communities keeping in touch with people back home. All three have some truth, but none of them captures what's actually going on.
So, who are they really talking to? Let's unpack the mystery.
The history, here's important, because the modern earpiece is a direct descendant of the radio dispatch system. Before smartphones, before Bluetooth, taxi drivers had a two-way radio mounted under the dash. And the crucial detail people forget is that those dispatch channels were shared. It was a party line. Every driver on that frequency could hear every other driver, the dispatcher, the whole thing. So, if a driver was sitting in his cab at 3 a.m. waiting for a fare, he wasn't sitting in silence. He had this constant low-level chatter in the background. Other drivers complaining about traffic, the dispatcher calling out jobs, someone telling a joke, someone warning about a bad intersection. It was the soundtrack of the job.
So the conversation never started with Bluetooth. It just got untethered from the dashboard.
And when the radio started disappearing, replaced by smartphones and apps, drivers didn't lose the chatter. They migrated it. Now they're on group calling apps. Zello is the big one, the walkie-talkie style app where you press a button and talk, and everyone in the channel hears you in real time. WhatsApp groups are huge too, and what happens in those channels is a mix of work and social. Traffic updates, fare tips, which hotel has a long queue right now, which dispatcher is giving out good jobs, but also just banter, jokes, arguments about football, someone's kid graduating, someone's mother in the hospital. It's the virtual water cooler.
The water cooler that drives a cab.
That drives a cab, yes. And the isolation is the key. Think about what a taxi driver's day actually looks like. 10-12 hours alone in a metal box. Passengers get in and out, but they're not colleagues, they're customers. The driver can't really talk to them the way you'd talk to a coworker. So without the earpiece, the job is profoundly lonely. The earpiece is a lifeline to a community. It's not just a work tool. It's the break room, the lunch table, the guy in the next cubicle. It's how you stay sane.
And that's the part the internet theories miss. The idea that they're just calling each other to chat about nothing. It's not nothing. It's the social fabric of the job.
There was a piece in Vice about this and one in The Outline, both documenting how drivers use these group channels. The drivers talked about it as a support network. One driver said something like, "Without this, I'd be talking to myself by the end of the day." Another said the channel is where he hears about road closures before the radio even mentions them. It's real-time intelligence, but it's also just company.
The fake call theory, though, that one's also real, right? Some drivers are just pretending.
Yeah, and that's where it gets interesting. Some drivers admit to faking it. They'll put the earpiece in and just talk to no one. or they'll have a real conversation going, but they'll keep it going longer than necessary because the passenger seems chatty and the driver doesn't want to engage. It's a defensive mechanism, it says. I'm busy, I'm working, don't talk to me. And for some drivers, especially women driving at night, it's also a safety thing. If you appear to be in constant contact with someone, you're a less appealing target. The passenger thinks there's a witness on the other end of that call.
So the earpiece is a shield as much as a social outlet.
And that's the part that gets missed when people joke about it. The driver isn't being rude, he's managing his environment. He's been in this cab for 8 hours, he's had 40 passengers, some of them were lovely, some of them were drunk, some of them asked him the same 3 questions 40 times. By the time you get in, he's done with small talk. The earpiece is how he opts out gracefully.
I respect that. I've never driven a cab, but I've been trapped in enough conversations to understand the appeal of a fake phone call.
You've done the fake phone call?
I've done the fake leaf consultation. Hold a leaf to my ear and nod thoughtfully. Works every time.
Nobody believes you're on a call with a leaf.
They don't need to believe it. They just need to see that I'm occupied.
Fair. Okay, so the hair salon parallel. Daniel mentioned it in the prompt, and it's a good one. Stylists work in these isolated pods. They're standing behind a chair for hours, working on one head at a time. The client is right there, but the relationship is transactional. And the stylist can't exactly turn to the next chair and start chatting the way you'd in an open office. So they do the same thing. Bluetooth earpiece, constant conversation. Sometimes it's with other stylists in the same salon, coordinating appointments, sharing gossip. Sometimes it's with a network of stylists across the city. Sometimes it's family. The earpiece is the break room for people who don't have one.
And the salon is even more interesting because the client is right there, listening to half the conversation. The stylist is physically present, but socially elsewhere.
Which changes the dynamic for the client, too. Some hate it, feel ignored. Others prefer it because it means the stylist isn't forcing small talk, same as the taxi. The passenger who wants a chat feels shortchanged. The passenger who wants silence gets exactly what they wanted.
So the earpiece is a filter. It separates the people who want interaction from the people who want to be left alone, and it lets the worker control which one happens.
And that's the knock-on effect that most coverage misses. This constant connectivity blurs the line between work and social life. The driver is never fully off the clock, because the channel is always on. But he's also never fully alone. The two things are tangled together, and it changes the passenger experience in ways that are new. A driver who's half listening to a group call is less available for the kind of casual conversation that used to be part of the taxi ride. Some passengers feel that as a loss. Others feel it as a relief.
I think the biggest story here is what it says about work in general. The gig economy. The isolated professional. The person who works alone in a car or a booth or a home office. These people don't have water coolers. They don't have break rooms. So they build their own out-of-group calls and voice channels and always on audio. The taxi driver with the earpiece is just the most visible example of something that's happening everywhere.
The NY Post and the NY Sun have both covered this, the driver communication networks, and the safety angle is a big part of it. In high crime areas, the earpiece is a lifeline. Drivers report incidents in real time. A driver gets robbed at a red light, he hits the button on his Zello, and within seconds, 40 other drivers know the intersection, the description of the guy, the direction he ran. That's a decentralized security system. It's not organized by anyone. It just emerges from the network.
So the channel is simultaneously a social club, a traffic report, and a neighborhood watch.
And sometimes a family reunion. The cultural variation is important here. In some cities, the drivers on those group calls aren't talking to other drivers at all. They're talking to family back home. A driver from Lagos working in London, his earpiece is connected to a WhatsApp call with his wife and kids who are 7 time zones away. The conversation runs for hours, not because they have that much to say, but because the presence is the point. It's like leaving the line open. You're not conversing, you're coexisting.
That's a different kind of endless conversation. It's not about information at all. It's about not being alone.
And that's the thing that unifies all of it. The driver on a dispatch channel, the stylist on a gossip call, the driver on a transnational family line. They're all doing the same thing. They're refusing to let the job isolate them. They're building a social world in the space that technology has opened up.
To understand this properly, we need to look at the history of how drivers communicate.
The radio dispatch era is where the culture was born, and I want to be clear about how different that world was. The shared channel meant that everyone heard everything. There was no privacy. If you said something on the radio, the whole fleet heard it, so drivers developed a whole etiquette around it. Short bursts, codes, nicknames, you didn't tie up the channel with personal stuff. But at the same time, the channel was never silent. There was always someone talking. And that background hum was the sound of the profession.
So, the modern group call is actually a return to that, not a departure from it.
In a way, yes. The smartphone earpiece is more private, you can have one-to-one calls, but the group channel is the direct descendant of the party line. The difference is that the modern version is global. A driver in New York can be on a channel with drivers in Cairo and Lagos and Manila, all sharing tips and stories. The community is no longer bounded by the radio's range.
The psychology of it, though. The isolation. You said the job is profoundly lonely. I think that's underselling it. The taxi driver is alone in a way that most workers aren't. He's surrounded by people all day, but they're all strangers, and they're all facing the back of his head. He can't see their faces. He can't read their expressions. The social interaction is stunted. It's almost like being invisible.
That's the paradox. The driver is never alone. Physically, there's always a passenger, but socially, he's in solitary confinement. And the earpiece is the door out. It's the one relationship that isn't mediated by the fare. The person on the other end knows him, not as a driver, but as a person.
So when a passenger gets in and the driver doesn't take the earpiece out, the passenger is offended because they feel ignored. But from the driver's perspective, the earpiece is the only real human contact he's had in 4 hours. Asking him to take it out is asking him to go back into the box.
And most passengers don't think about it that way. They think the driver is being rude, or they think he's on some kind of scam. The internet theories are full of that. He's faking it, he's avoiding you, he's part of some secret network. The truth is more mundane. He's just talking to his friend.
The mundane truth is always the last thing the internet wants to hear.
The fake call thing is real, though, and I want to give it its due. Drivers do fake it, and not just to avoid chatty passengers. Some do it to feel safer. A woman driving a cab at 2 in the morning, picking up a guy who looks twitchy, she'll call someone, or pretend to call someone, and narrate the ride. I'm at 5th and Main, heading north, should be there in 10. The passenger hears that and knows someone else knows where she is. It's a deterrent.
That's not paranoia. That's just good practice.
And it's the same instinct that makes people share their location with friends on a first date. The difference is the driver does it every night for her whole shift because the risk is part of the job.
The hair salon parallel again. The stylist with the earpiece isn't faking it for safety. She's faking it when she fakes it, to avoid the client who wants to tell her about their divorce for the third time. It's the same mechanism, different threat.
The threat of being trapped in a one-sided conversation with someone who's paying you to be nice to them. That's a real occupational hazard.
I'd rather face the twitchy guy at 2 in the morning.
You've clearly never had a client cry on you while you're trying to do a fade.
I've had a sloth cry on me. It's slow and very wet.
Okay, so let's talk about what this means. The internet theories are partially right. Drivers are calling each other, they're faking it sometimes, they're coordinating. But the nuance is that it's not just calling. It's a distributed social network. It's a virtual water cooler, a safety net, and a professional tool all at once. And the always-on nature of it's the key. It's not that the driver makes a call, it's that the call is always there. The channel is open. He dips in and out. He listens more than he talks. It's ambient social presence.
Like having the radio on, except the radio knows your name.
And the knock-on effect are worth dwelling on. The blurring of work and social life. The driver is never off the clock because the channel never closes. But he's also never fully at work because the channel is full of jokes and gossip and family news. The two are fused. And that's increasingly true for a lot of workers. The freelancer with a Discord server. The remote worker with a Slack channel that's half work, half memes. The taxi driver was just early.
The passenger experience is the part that's most visible to us, and it's divided. Some people want the driver to be present, to chat, to be the friendly face of the city. Others want to be left alone with their phone. The earpiece lets the driver opt out of the first role, and the passengers who want the second are grateful for it. It's a sorting mechanism.
The safety angle deserves more attention than it gets. The decentralized security system. In cities where drivers face real danger, the group channel is the difference between a robbery that takes 10 minutes and a robbery that gets interrupted by six other drivers pulling up. The NY Post covered a case where a driver was attacked and the whole network mobilized in real time. They found the guy before the police did.
That's the shadow network idea. It's not organized from above. It's just what happens when you give a bunch of people who share a risk a way to talk to each other instantly.
The cultural variation. In some cities, the drivers are mostly on group calls with other drivers. In others, they're on the phone with family back home. The endless conversation is a transnational family line. A driver from Accra working in London, his earpiece is his living room. His wife's voice, his kids doing homework. He's not talking, he's just there.
That's the part that gets me. The idea that the earpiece is a doorway to a room on another continent. The driver is in a cab in the rain in Manchester, but he's also in his mother's kitchen in Kumasi. The two places are simultaneous.
That's not new exactly. Immigrant workers have always maintained transnational ties. Letters, then phone calls, then video calls. But the always-on audio is different. It's not a scheduled call. It's a continuous presence. The line is just open. You hear the background noise of the other house. You hear the kids come and go. It's ambient co-presence.
The question Daniel asked, who are they talking to, has about six different answers depending on the driver, the city, the time of day. It could be a dispatcher. It could be a group of 40 other drivers. It could be a wife in another country. It could be no one at all. And the earpiece is the common thread. It's the visible marker of an invisible social world.
But the story doesn't end with the technology. It's about what these networks mean for the people in them.
The thing I keep coming back to is the loneliness. The driver is the most visible, isolated worker, but he's not the only one. The delivery driver, the security guard, the night cleaner. These are all people who work alone in a world full of people, and they've all adopted the same solution. The earpiece, the group call, the always-on voice. It's not a quirk of taxi culture. It's a response to a structural feature of modern work.
The gig economy makes it worse. The driver isn't an employee. He has no colleagues in the traditional sense. He has no office, no break room, no union hall. The app is his boss, and the app doesn't talk, so he builds his own social infrastructure. The group channel is the union hall. It's where he hears about which company is cutting rates, which area is dead tonight, which passenger to avoid. It's collective intelligence.
It's also just friendship. The guy on the other end of the channel has been driving for 20 years. He knows every street, every shortcut, every dispatcher's mood. He's the mentor, the sounding board, the guy who talks you through a bad night. That relationship doesn't show up in any labor statistics, but it's the thing that keeps people in the job.
There's a whole sociological literature on occupational communities. Workers in isolated roles create their own social worlds. The classic examples are miners, fishermen, truckers. People who work in conditions that are dangerous or lonely or both, and who develop a strong in-group culture as a result. The taxi driver with the earpiece is the modern version. The technology changed, but the need didn't.
The next time you get in a taxi and the driver is mid-conversation, you're not interrupting a call. You're entering a room. A room that's been there the whole time, full of people you can't see, and the driver is just in it.
The passenger is the interloper. That's the reframe. The driver isn't ignoring you. He's maintaining his connection to the only social world he has for the duration of his shift. You're the one who walked in.
That's a humbling way to think about it. The passenger thinks they're the center of the interaction. The driver thinks they're a brief interruption to the real conversation.
The fake call theory is the exception that proves the rule. Most of the time, the conversation is real. The driver is actually talking to someone. But the fact that some drivers fake it tells you how important the earpiece is. It's not just a tool. It's a shield. It's a way of controlling access. If you're a driver and you don't want to talk, the earpiece is the polite way to say no. And if you're a passenger, you can't really complain because the driver is working. He's on a call. It'd be rude to interrupt.
The fake call is a social technology in its own right. It's a way of saying no without saying no. It's the Bluetooth equivalent of the closed door.
It's not just drivers. People do this all the time. The fake phone call to avoid a street canvasser. The fake earpiece to avoid a chatty coworker. The driver is just the most visible practitioner because he's trapped in a small space with strangers all day.
The small space is the key. In an office, you can walk away. In a cab, you can't. The driver is strapped into a seat with a stranger behind him. The earpiece is the only exit.
What does this all mean for the future? The open question is whether these occupational communities survive the next wave of technology. Autonomous vehicles are the obvious threat. If the driver disappears, does the community disappear with him? Or does it morph into something else? A network of remote operators monitoring fleets from a control room. The social need doesn't go away. The form might change.
Remote work is the other side of it. The isolated knowledge worker, the person who works from home and never sees a colleague, they're building the same thing. Discord servers, voice channels, always on audio. The taxi driver was just the canary in the coal mine. Everyone's becoming the taxi driver now.
The earpiece is the window into a hidden social world. That's the line I'd want to leave people with. The next time you see a driver on a call, he might be talking to a friend, a dispatcher, or no one at all. But the earpiece is the visible tip of something much bigger. It's how isolated workers stay connected. It's how they stay sane. It's how they stay safe.
The question Daniel asked, who are they talking to? The answer is everyone and no one. And the difference matters less than you'd think.
1993. I drove a cab in Chicago for 14 months. Before Bluetooth. Before cell phones, really. We had a CB radio under the dash and a dispatch channel that crackled like a campfire. The dispatch channel was the party line. Everyone heard everything. There was a guy named Manny who drove nights, and he had this running commentary on the Bulls. Every game, he'd narrate it on the channel. You'd be sitting at O'Hare waiting for a fare, and Manny's voice would come through, Scotty with the steel, and you'd know the score without a radio. The point is, the hosts are right about the mechanism, but the scale is wrong. It's not just drivers talking to other drivers. Half the time, it's the dispatcher. And the dispatcher is also a friend, or a spouse, or a guy you owe money to. The channel was the social world. The fares were the interruption. I used to fake conversations on the CB, not often. But if I was parked and I saw a guy walking toward the cab who looked like trouble, I'd key the mic and start talking to a dispatcher who didn't exist. Yeah, I'm at the corner of Western and Division, I'd say. I'll be there in 10. The guy would hear it and keep walking. It worked more than it didn't. I still do it. With the Bluetooth earpiece now. My neighbor talks too much. I see him coming, and I tap the earpiece and start nodding. He thinks I'm on a call. I'm not. I'm just not in the mood.
The fake call is a social technology. We set it, and now we have a practitioner.
The thing that strikes me is the continuity. The CB radio, the dispatch channel, the earpiece. It's the same behavior, just new hardware. The need didn't change.
The hardware got smaller. The CB was a box under the dash with a cord. The earpiece is nothing. But the sound is the same. Crackly voices, half-heard jokes, someone saying, where are you, and someone else saying, none of your business. It was the night shift soundtrack. There was a woman who drove the 4 to midnight shift. Her name was Delia. She'd sing on the channel. Old songs, Motown mostly. And nobody told her to stop. It was just part of the night. You'd be driving down Lakeshore Drive, and Delia's voice would come through, singing Aretha, and the whole fleet would go quiet for a minute. I don't know what happened to her. Or Manny. The channel just sort of dissolved when the radios went away. But I'd bet anything they're on some app now, doing the same thing. Somebody's still narrating the Bulls somewhere.
The community persists. The channel changes. But the voices find a new channel.
That's the through line, isn't it? From the party line to the CB to the Zello channel. The technology is always different, but the function is identical. It's the break room. It's the union hall. It's the friend in the passenger seat who isn't there.
The friend in the passenger seat who isn't there. That's it exactly.
The one thing I'd take from this is that the earpiece isn't a sign that the driver is ignoring you. It's a sign that the driver has a whole social world you can't see, and you're the one who just walked into it. The next time I get in a taxi, and the driver is mid-sentence, I'll think of it differently. I'm not interrupting a call. I'm entering a room.
The room has been there for decades. It just used to have a crackly radio in it. The loneliness of the job didn't change. The response to it didn't change. Only the hardware got smaller.
What happens to the room when the job disappears? That's the open question. Autonomous cabs, remote dispatch, no driver in the seat. Does the community find a new host, or does it just fade?
I think it finds a new host. The need is too strong. Somewhere, someone is narrating a basketball game into a voice channel, and someone else is listening. The room just moves.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing, and for the 14 months in Chicago.
This has been My Weird Prompts, the Human AI Collaboration Podcast.
If you've got a question or a theory, email us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.